Our sermon text for today comes from the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 17. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, do not become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may not know, but the first letter to the church at Thessalonica, which we call 1 Thessalonians, is the first book written in the New Testament, written very early in the 50s, maybe even as early as the late 40s. It's the first book written, and if you read 1 Thessalonians, you'll find out that in that book, Paul is talking about the Lord coming back very shortly. Because in the beginning, they believed that Jesus was going to come back in a very short time, that it wouldn't be long and he would be back. Well, here comes the second letter to the church at Thessalonica, much later in Paul's ministry, probably maybe 6 or 7 years later, and Paul says, hold on, wait a minute. We may have been wrong on that Jesus coming back real quickly thing. And so stop worrying about it. As I look around here, most of you have seen a century, or at least the beginning of a new one. And you remember that when we went from the 20th century into the 21st century, it got crazy. Everything was going to happen. Our computers were going to shut down. We were going to lose electricity. There were people flying off, spaceships going to come down and pick them up and fly them off to the other side of the sun or wherever it was they were going. And it's a common thing that people are looking for Jesus to come back. I seem to hear it a lot now. And it's usually with people who are frustrated with the way that society is going. And you'll hear somebody on the radio. We have Christian radio on at our house all the time. The dog loves it, so that's why we have it on. Because even when we go away, he listens to it. But you hear this statement, Jesus is coming back soon. And I want to reach into the radio and grab him by the neck and say, How do you know? How do you know Jesus is coming back soon? And if he is, so what? How should that change anything that we do? And I think that's part of the problem when we get this mindset that Jesus is coming back soon, that we want to sit back and wait. Now, my wife and I do things differently. For me, when it's time to go, it's time to go. For my wife, when it's time to go, it's time to think about going. We go to visit Amish friends, and it's become a joke now. 20 minutes before I'm ready to leave, I'll say, I think we ought to go. And they just chuckle because they know it's going to be 20 minutes before we get out of the house. And then they'll walk us out to the truck, and we'll talk for a few more minutes, and eventually we'll leave. I was thinking about that this week as I read this passage. What do we as Christians do while we're preparing to leave? Now we know Jesus is coming back again. We know that he's going to come and to take us to be with him. But what does that mean for us? What are we doing in the meantime? I've learned over the years, Sharon and I will be married in December. It'll be 36 years. And I've learned that when I'm ready to go, I'll go out to the truck and I'll clean it out a little bit and start it up and do some things because she'll come eventually. But it's if I just sit there, I'll go nuts. Because then I'll say, where is she at? Why can't we go now? God does put opposites together, which tells me God has a wonderful sense of humor. And I think he just sits up there and laughs at us. But in the church, there are people who believe, well, my ticket's punched. I've become a Christian. I'm just going to sit back and wait for God to come. And the problem is, that's not what the church is called to do. The church is called to be in ministry, to be God's people. And if we truly are followers of God, if we have the love of God in us for those around us, and we believe that Jesus is coming back soon, then shouldn't we be working even harder to make sure that they go with us? Instead of just sitting back and saying, hey, I'm all taken care of. I'm just going to sit back and take it easy. Now, I realize that I'm preaching to the sermon, talking to this church about doing for other people. Because that is one thing that you are very good at. But I think we need to understand why we do it. It's not so that everybody thinks we're good. It's because we want everybody to understand that when God comes, when the time is right and Jesus comes back again, you're not going to have time to think about it. We want you to think about it now. We want you to understand that in God's time, he's going to come back and get us. But until that time, we want to prepare as many people as possible to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. That's the job of the church. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go out and preach on the street corners. But it does mean you need to show people the love of Jesus Christ, and there's many ways to do that. We do it through our backpack program. We do it through our missions program. We do it through our vacation Sunday school or vacation Bible school. We do it in so many ways that we reach out to a community that people come to understand that we want them to know about Jesus Christ. But is there more we can do? Is there other ways that we can reach out to our community so that we can let them know that they too need to be prepared when God's time comes, because we don't know when it's going to be. It may be next week, it may be this afternoon, it may be another 2,000 years. But we do know that it's going to happen. We do know that Jesus is going to come back, and when he does, those of us who are waiting will go with him. Those who have gone ahead don't have to worry about waiting anymore. They're already with him. But those of us who are left, we shouldn't just sit back and say, when's he coming? Isn't it time for Jesus to come? We're told in this letter to the people at Thessalonica that there are certain things that have to happen. And if you look at what Paul says has to happen before Jesus comes, and then you look at the book of Revelation that John wrote, telling you of the vision that he saw of what's going to happen, they fit together. That there are going to be some really bad times that come before Jesus comes back. And how are we as a church going to look at ourselves if we leave people here who don't understand what's coming and say, well, we're good. We're just going to sit back and let you worry about yourselves. We can't do that. We can't call ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, who live in his love and not care about the people around us. We just can't do that. We must show them. We must tell them. We must help them to prepare themselves for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, if you happen to be around when he comes, I heard this from a Christian speaker. If you happen to be in a place where you know there are non-Christians, and as you start to go up into the heavens to meet Jesus, grab a sinner in each hand. And when you get up about 1,000 feet, just ask them, do you repent or do I let go? You just saved 2 people. But in reality, how are we going to touch people's lives? How are we going to show people the love of Jesus Christ? How can people see Jesus Christ in us? Yes, we know the way. Those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And we understand that one day we're going to dwell with him in the New Jerusalem. But what about those people out there? Are you okay with just letting them go? Not caring about them? Are you okay with them not getting to heaven? Because if you're not, we need to do something about it. We need to reach out to our community. We need to show them the love of Jesus Christ. I don't care if they ever come to this church, but they need to hear about Jesus Christ. They need to be in a church community. They need to learn and to grow in their faith so that when Jesus comes, they'll go to meet him, because Jesus will come. That's a given. You may be ready, but do all those you know, are they ready? Amen.